just below some of the pieces of shell. In the model, of course, the pieces of eggshell are like the plates of the Earth's crust that move about on the currents of heat coming from the Earth's yolk or core. On the Earth, Yellowstone sits on the middle of a plate that slowly moves over a hotspot. The hotspot under Yellowstone, perhaps only a few miles below the surface, actually melts the rock above and pushes up the surface like an immense bubble. The ground above the bubble may stretch a bit, producing little tremors or earthquakes, or, rarely, it may crack more deeply, reaching the melted rock below, causing a sudden release of gas, lava, and ash in a devastating explosion. Explosions and volcanic eruptions of this sort have occurred frequently in Yellowstone's distant past. Yellowstone is jiggled by hundreds of small earthquakes each year, but every 600,000 or 700,000 years or so, enormous explosions eject hundreds of cubic miles of ash or rhyolite over the Yellowstone region. Sandra Snell Dobert, Norris District Naturalist.
My favorite part about Yellowstone is that it is so dynamic geologically. Underneath Yellowstone, we have a hot spot, and that hot spot has manifested itself in volcanic eruptions in the past. The most recent large eruption of the Yellowstone caldera, the Yellowstone volcano, we should say, was 600,000 years ago. That major eruption left a caldera 30 miles by 40 miles within Yellowstone National Park. We don't really see that today because of subsequent lava flows, but the hot spot underneath us is what's giving us the heat to run all of our wonderful geothermal features that we have today. The volcanic eruptions left us with rhyolitic soils, volcanic ash, that are so poor that basically only lodgepole pine grows here. But that hot spot also elevated all of the Yellowstone region, lifting it up, bringing it up to this 7,000 foot elevation, and leaving us with the climate that we have today.
Rain falls on this high plateau in summer thunderstorms. Snowfall can be heavy in the winter. Much of this precipitation slowly percolates into the ground, and as it descends, comes closer and closer to the hot spot not far below.
It takes at least 500 years for that water to seep down, come into contact with a hot rock surrounding that magma chamber underneath us, and then rise to the surface, because hot water rises just like hot air does, comes up to the surface. And whatever rock it happens to be coming through is dissolved as that water comes up, and that's deposited on the surface. So whatever area of Yellowstone you happen to be in, what you see on the surface is going to be a reflection of what that hot water has come through underneath. For instance, if you go to Mammoth Hot Springs, the hot water is coming up through layers of limestone and bringing that soft limestone back up and forming beautiful terraces at Mammoth Hot Springs. Here in the Norris area and down around Old Faithful, we have that rhyolite rock. It's very rich in silica, it's volcanic ash. The hot water comes up through dissolving that silica, actually silicon dioxide, and making geyserite, a gray mineral on the surface. That geyserite, that very hard silica rock, seals off the chambers underneath us, making it very pressure resistant and allowing us to have geysers here.
Geysers are very uncommon, yet Yellowstone contains more than 400 of them, the largest concentration of geysers in the world. Many of them can be seen in the basins along the road from Old Faithful to Madison, and again in the Norris area. It is the fortunate coexistence of several factors that makes these geysers possible. Here in Yellowstone, abundant water lies close to the source of intense heat. A network of underground channels, ever-changing, leads the superheated water to the surface. Silica-rich deposits coat and constrict the channels, permitting a pressure buildup. The pressure ejects the water, and voila, a geyser. In other areas of the park, the conditions are different. Hot water is still abundant, but it wells up to the surface.